Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a wonderful day here in the South. But boy, it's still hotter than blazes, and I hope it's nice and cool by you because it's 88 degrees here today for October. It's kind of crazy, but in the beginning of the show, I always like to talk about the weather because I can just think about where everybody else is and how they can all send me their nice colored leaves. So if you have any great colored leaves, feel free to send me a picture on Facebook or to my website. I'd be happy to see them and to post those. Today, we are in the middle of Naturopathic Medicine Awareness Week. What does that mean? How many times have I myself, as a naturopathic physician, someone would say, "What do you do?" And I think they look at me like I've got, you know, a radar coming out of my nose and 10 eyes and I wear opposite shoes and my hair is green and pink polka dots, you know? They have no clue what I'm talking about. And we always remember the first two or three words that come out of your mouth, they don't know what you're talking about. You can forget the rest of the conversation. So here on my show for the past few days and a few upcoming shows, we are talking about naturopathic medicine with several NDs in various parts of the country and different specialties. And why that is so important is because the more times we hear the conversation, the more times we hear it from other people, we hear it in different ways, we hear it in different circumstances, we may say, "Now I'm starting to understand what they're talking about. Now I think I want to maybe find out more about this naturopathic medicine." You know, it's not about looking as we're green gurus and we wear Birkenstocks and we carry around our mason jar with our green drink and, you know, our hair is graying all over the place and we've got these long flowing skirts on. That's not all naturopathic physicians. You know, I mean, I can remember getting out of school with the nice blonde hair and all teased up and my high heels and short skirts. Not that I do that now, 10 years later, but, you know, we're all different. And there's all varying different kinds of physicians that you'll be able to find someone who will resonate with you where you are on your current level of health and where you'd like to be. So it's not also about always bringing everyone over into the health realm of I have to eat everything raw and green and I have to plant it in my yard. If you're someone who is eating all of your meals at a fast food place and you're eating them in your car and you've got your kids and the baby in the back is only 6 months old chomping down on French fries, we can always bring you up a few steps. We don't need to just say, "I can't work with you," or, "You have to come over to my side of the fence before I can work with you." Naturopathic medicine is really great in that we help you and listen to you where you are. Because there has to be a reason why you're doing that. Maybe you just don't have time, or maybe it's just you. Or maybe you just have overscheduled yourself. Or maybe this is just the life that you have to have right now. So we can help you in all phases of life. Today, my guest is Dr. Valeria Brighton, and she and I went to school in the late 1990s, and we were in Arizona together. She's going to be talking to us today about what she thinks naturopathic medicine is, and also her specialty, which is homeopathy. Well, the other day I had a friend of mine on who spoke about cranial sacral, and it was interesting because one time I had said cranial sacral to somebody and they said, "Well, cranial is your brain and sacral is your butt. So what does that have to do with helping me get better?" So today we're going to look at homeopathy in that same realm. What are those little tiny white pellets and how can they even help me? I mean, goodness gracious, there's these little tiny things. They're very inexpensive. You can get them online or you can get them at a drugstore. And I just don't even know what they are or what you do with them. And even more, do I take it today and it's going to help me tomorrow or next week or next year or maybe instantly? Because this is not homeopathic medicine that comes in your orange prescription bottle with that top on you know, that you have to try to get off, and you run home every day to try to take that prescription medicine because you know your day won't be complete without having done that. So I'd like to welcome to the show Dr. Valeria, and it's going to be a great show. So welcome to the show.
Hello. It is great to be here, Jeanette. It's been a long time since we were in school, and it's fun to reconnect and to talk a little bit about what people are doing. And I'm here in Arizona still, and so I actually today I've got an amazing 70-degree day. It's a miracle for October in Arizona.
It sure is. Now I'm jealous. I can remember being there and hot as blazes. I guess I don't know. Did I go out of the pot and the kettle and the fire to something worse, right? Nice and hot.
I don't know. Normally October it's still over 100 all through the month. At least that's what it seems like to me. And so we're just all really enjoying a real break in the weather from a storm that came through.
Well, that sounds great. Well, you know, when we talk about naturopathic medicine, when you and I were in school, now just for our listeners, Dr. Valeria and I are a little bit older. We are not in our 20s and our 30s. We've been down the road. We've been back again. We've been up and we've been down. And we've had all of the experiences that we think a lot of our listeners are experiencing today. So it's really, really important that to say, you know, okay, I get it. Maybe she does know something about what she's talking about. Because you and I both have had kids, we've gone to school, we've had other professions. And when we came back to naturopathic medicine, you know, we really found that this resonated with us, with our time in our life and all of our experiences with other healthcare. And this is where people are really starting to grow to, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I was a registered dietitian before I went to naturopathic medical school. And what really got me to naturopathic medical school was actually just discovering homeopathy and just being so excited about a medicine that helped people's body heal itself in a way that was gentle and powerful, both. And I was, as a dietitian, I understood certainly the importance of lifestyle and food and all those good things that are still really important. But it was wonderful to see that there was another tool that could help people become healthier even faster and better.
And, you know, can you tell us your version of what you believe naturopathic medicine is? We've had several doctors on, and they've all said about the healing power of nature. And you know what? For some people, they're like, I have no clue what that is, and they shut right off. To me, I more tell them, you know, you have a headache today? Okay, well, let's figure out where it's coming from. It's my wife over there. Don't you see her? And then we start talking about that, you know? And we just totally get off the part of health. And they get out of the appointment and they say, well, we didn't talk about my health yet. I said, yes, we did. Do you have that headache anymore? You know? And how profound just all-around care is, because homeopathy encompasses your life, your spiritual part, your emotional, your mental, your physical, your nutrition. It encompasses everything that when you take that into account to be able to find a remedy. In homeopathy, for listeners, its remedy is considered the pellets that you would get that would coincide to your current symptoms. You know, but I think it's so important to even
talk about. I think we call them medicine.
Right. Well, okay.
Homeopathic medicines certainly is what, you know, but like everything, we have our own language, and sometimes we refer to them as remedies or as homeopathic medicines. And
right.
I think it's important for people to know that homeopathy, the pharmacopoeia for homeopathic medicines, was created at the same time in the Food and Drug Administration as the one for all of our drugs that we have out that everybody's aware of that are advertised on TV and everywhere now. And so that pharmacopoeia has been around a long time. The homeopathic medicines are listed and registered and have numbers, and you know, all of that information is in the Food and Drug Administration. So there's some people that certainly aren't real wild about the Food and Drug Administration, but it does give people some understanding that homeopathy has been around a long time, and it is a legitimate medicine.
I think I always talk on the radio about the New Orleans Pharmacy Museum, which is here in downtown New Orleans, because they have in there, that was the oldest pharmacy location. And it was in the 1800s. And when you walk into the front door, you see shelves of old legend medications that were in the times of the 18 and early 1900s. And the first thing you see is an entire counter full of homeopathic medications. What does that mean? It means these tubes that are about 2 inches long, and they were metal cylinders, and inside of them they had these little white like BB things. And they still have some of those there. And they would have handwritten tags on the front of them, what they were for. And then right next to it, they had these journals. These doctors had these journals that they had left with those cylinders. So that was the medicine of the time. That was what was given out in the pharmacies in the 18 and 1900s. And it is considered medicine. I know the past few days we've kind of gravitated towards the point, naturopathic medicine, what is this new word? Is this new age hokey pokey? And I think both you and I would say naturopathic medicine is the medicine that always was before. It just took a back seat when regular medicine branched out and says we want to have bigger drugs, bigger surgery, bigger therapies. These are our protocols, and this is what you're going to do. And all of that is based on protocols, right, and symptoms, whereas naturopathic medicine, we're more based on the symptoms in the person.
Right, certainly individualized treatment, really listening to somebody, really understanding what's going on with them, and also understanding then when you do that what the root of the problem is so that you're addressing that. So like somebody might come into me with symptoms, and I want to understand what the root of the problem is because I want to be able to treat that along with whatever maybe the symptom is so that I'm not doing anything that's suppressive. And I don't know that in other medicines we talk about suppression as much as we do in naturopathic medicine and homeopathy, but the idea that you can sometimes have a skin rash that you put something suppressive like cortisone on, and then later, maybe a month or two later, you might have asthma because the body then, the rash is gone, but then you've got asthma, a deeper, more serious problem, is a very real concern in this world, and it's a very real concern in working with people's health. And so knowing the direction of cure, knowing that you're going in the right direction for healing and not suppressing, is how you make people really vibrantly healthy again.
And your headache may be totally different from my headache versus you could have 20 or 30 people in the office and they could all get totally different remedies, or they may all get the same, correct?
Exactly. Likelihood of them all getting the same would be pretty slim, unless the exception would be if they all had a headache because they all got hit on the head with a hammer, we would probably give them all the same remedy of arnica. But
and
if they all
the
just came in with headaches from their life and their style, then it would be a different remedy for everybody.
And even so, when you come in with a headache associated to your cold or flu, that may, in some instances, start out to be the same remedy as your friends and all, but it may not be in a day or two after you've taken it. It may change, right?
Sure. People sometimes have layers, and you know their symptoms change. And one of the ways people can know that, they say, you know, normally I'm always a really hot person, but today I am so chilly along with my sore throat or my cold or my flu. And that would be a real change in their constitution. And so that would be real important information, because then you'd say, oh, okay, normally you're hot, but now that you're sick, you're chilly. Those are different kinds of homeopathic medicines.
Can you give us a little bit more information on the definition of homeopathy? I know you do teach at the American Medical College of Homeopathy, so you would have a very good way of telling those people that this is where we're starting.
Yes, you know, it's interesting, actually. I'm teaching history of medicine, and that's been just fascinating to see where we've come from, actually, both in conventional, which in homeopathy, it's interesting. We have a word for people that aren't doing homeopathy that are suppressing symptoms instead of helping the body heal itself. And so we call them allopaths. So they're wanting to take a symptom and do what's contrary to it. So if something's hot, they want to add ice to it or something like that. Where a homeopath would be more likely to say, if it's hot, then we want to add heat to it, because we're in that principle of heat, of like cures like. And we're also in wanting to do the minimum dose, and we're also really wanting to treat the individual. So those are the real, very primary. And as you can see, that doesn't necessarily have to be the homeopathic medicine, but that's really how we're focusing on helping people to get better and be their optimum. And the really fun, exciting people to treat are the kids, in my book, because kids have got these really strong, vital beings, and when they get really sick, they get really sick, and when they get healthy in a moment, it seems like. And so a kid could be so sick when their mom carries them into my office that they just feel like they can't even walk, and they just lay on the bed in my office, and then I will maybe do a little bit of treatment of assorted things, and it'll become clear to me what the homeopathic medicine is just by talking to the mom and looking at the child and seeing where they hurt and where they're hot or cold and seeing what their symptoms are and when it started and how it's progressed and what kind of pain they're having. And if I give them the right homeopathic medicine, they just pop up, start playing with their siblings and, are happily on their way out the door because they've got that really wonderful ability to respond.
So when we say homeopathic remedies, can you talk a little bit about what they are in themselves? You're giving me a name, you're sending me to the local store or the local chain or wherever to pick them up, and I get it, and there's just a name on the tube, and there's a bunch of these little white things in there. So what precautions and what should I do? Or what if my dog ate the whole tube? Or what if my kids opened it up and spilled it all over? Do I have to call, poison control? These are things we think about as parents, is like,
exactly.
You tell me it's a medicine. Is it a medicine? And it's little white innocuous things. Well, in other words, they aren't red with a big X on them.
the thing about homeopathy is what we sell in the stores are very safe levels, and so people can usually be pretty comfortable with it. What normally comes with homeopathy is there's usually some book involved. That's just part of homeopathy, whether you would get my little book, Naturally Healthy at Home, or you've got a book that you already own, or maybe you might be looking at a computer program. But in some way you're going to access the information that you're going to talk about or look at your symptoms, and then you can see what homeopathic medicine fits best, because there's several thousand homeopathic medicines. But there's one here's another big word. We call them polycrests. I don't know if that's helpful, but there's homeopathic medicines that we use a lot. And those medicines that we use frequently and a lot are the ones that they have in the stores. And those are the ones that people can kind of learn fairly quickly how to use and to use pretty effectively at home. And I really encourage people to get a little book like mine and get a kit and have it at home, because if you've got that going for you, then and you can treat things at home, you can really help yourself and your family pretty quickly get healthier and stronger and save yourself a bunch of money by not having to always rush to emergency room for things, because you can treat on the way, see if it's better, and then if it's not, then you go on, and if it is, then you can just turn around and go home again. I've had a number of mothers that have been pretty excited to say, wow, I just paid for all this by saving a visit to the clinic because I was able to be empowered to help resolve it. But as to the safety, what I have is I have kids that have gotten into their mom's kits and they've spilled them and eaten a bunch of them. And really what happens with homeopathy is if it's not a homeopathic medicine that affects you, most of the time it doesn't do anything. So that's both the beauty of homeopathy and the I guess the problem is that if it's not right, then it doesn't do anything. If it's right, then it really helps in a wonderful way. And so that matching is where the people might say, well, I've tried homeopathy and it didn't work. Well, I say you didn't get the right remedy. That's the bottom line. Not that homeopathy didn't work. You just didn't get whoever recommended it or however you figured out which one to take wasn't the right one for your situation at the moment.
Sometimes, too, they get the remedy at the store and they think of it as a prescription from the doctor where I'm going to take two doses of this and I'm good to go. Where sometimes homeopathy works on the first, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it takes time, or sometimes maybe your symptoms and your body is equilibrating all along. In other words, the chains are getting greased. You just didn't see the wheels moving yet. You know, wheels don't always
right.
move within, you know, 2 to 3 hours or 6 hours. So a change is what you're looking for, and then the movement will start to occur.
And people aren't always thinking along the same lines that I might, because I really want usually the body to do something that's going to be a discharge to help move out what the problem is. And in general, people don't feel like they're always getting better when they're discharging if they haven't learned to think that way. And so the idea that, oh, I took this homeopathic medicine and instead of now having a sinus infection, now I have a runny nose, if they weren't my patient, they might not say, oh, this is really good. I'm going to get it out and then I'm going to be better. Are those kinds of things. But usually some people can sweat for a discharge. You know, they can have urine, they can have bowel movements, they can have runny noses, you know, diarrhea. You know, there's all kinds of things that people might have as some kind of a discharge. It might even be emotional discharge. And that actually, you know, that's the root of the problem. And then they're going to feel way better.
You know, I've always go back when I explain homeopathy to others. I say, I had a friend who had a terrible earache, and it was a male. And we all know what males are. You know, when they get the sniffles or they get something that's bothering them, you would swear that the world was going to come to an end. Well, he had an earache, and he sat in the chair whining and whining. And I got so sick of listening to him, I just gave him the kid's remedy for the earache. Well, he was not going to do it. He didn't like this. He thought it was stupid. You know, the whole story.
Yeah.
Finally, I got him to do it. He took two drops. It was a liquid one. He took two drops. And, oh, it tastes terrible, and I have to drink something. So he went and drank something, and I figured, let's just wait. Let's just watch. Within a half an hour, he was throwing up like there was nobody's business. I mean, he could not stop throwing up. And I said, cool. What did you give me? This stuff was terrible. It made me sick. Within a half an hour, no more earache. I didn't say anything, and I let the day go on. I let the next day go on. I let the next day go on. I figured, okay, 3 days of this, no earache. Now we're going to have a little conversation. So what did you and I said, what did you think of that homeopathic remedy? Oh, that stuff didn't do anything. It just made me sick. I said, so since within 30 minutes of it, you threw up and everything, and then now you don't have an earache for the last 33 days, but it didn't work, right? Oh, see? But still, they just had to get to that pattern where it took time. You had to move away from the event to be able to reflect on it.
And then somebody had pointed out to you. I know this friend of mine, actually it's my daughter's friend. They were in high school, and the daughter got really sick and was in the hospital with pneumonia. And so my daughter and I went to visit her, and she as I was seeing her, I realized this young woman was just in a really clear state of a homeopathic medicine that gets really sick but then gets better really fast. And so I asked her mom, who's also a doctor, but a conventional MD, if she would be open to me giving her a remedy since it was pretty clear to me. And she said, oh, yeah. She was at a kind of her wit's end. She was really feeling frustrated with helping your daughter get better. And so I gave her daughter the remedy, the medicine, and I also gave her a packet of vitamin C. And so then the next day I talked to her again, and the daughter was like, oh my gosh, she says, that was the most powerful vitamin C I ever had. I am just really better today. I'm like going, Well, no, it wasn't anything unique for vitamin C. It was the homeopathic I gave you.
That
allowed
her to
be pretty much recovered.
It takes time to be removed from it to see what it actually did do. So it's
right.
Not like a traditional medicine, say, oh, okay, my ear is better today. I'm not going to take my medicine anymore. I'm good to go, you know, a pharmaceutical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it does mm-hmm. take time.
And it doesn't have those negative effects that that some of those other medicines have. That's the other beauty of it. You know, we don't have a lot of – matter of fact, the additional effects that people get from it is that sometimes other things that they didn't even tell me about get better, because it's treating the whole person and the body is going to move along and heal them in a good way with that help and that stimulus.
You know, so many times in regular medicine, I have a relative who is considering going to medical school.
Mm-hmm.
And they had said that, boy, you know, I've been in the emergency room now for 4 years. Every day. And I'm looking and I asked this person, I said, so have you had any interesting cases yet lately, you know, like in the past month or so, because I haven't spoken to you. And this person says, you know, it's all the same old stuff. And then I said, well, what do you mean? They said, well, we had a case of plague the other day, but that's simple too. You just identify it and you give an antibiotic. And I'm going, so are you telling me that you're bored with the protocols of regular medicine? And this person says, no, I'm telling you I'm probably not going to go to medical school. And it's like, whoa. Because
wow.
Medical school has gotten so profound in the protocols. If you have this, you present with 1 through 10, I'm going to give you this drug, and I'm going to send you on your way, right? And
very technician-like,
so,
yeah.
Right, and even so, I mean, I had another client who, terrible pain in the chest, went into the ER. As soon as you walk in, they do a strip, which means they put the heart monitor on you, they count to 10, then they tear it off, and you go sit in the waiting room with your chest pain. So you're sitting in the waiting room with your chest pain for however long it takes to get a room. And when you get in there, they say, your strip looks fine, so we're going to put you on the machine again, and we'll leave you here for a little while to recheck. So they leave you in there for 4 hours and 15 minutes. And nobody ever comes in anymore to check. Oh, sorry, they come in to take your blood, and then they never come back for 4 hours and 15 minutes. And you're wondering, what the heck? I still got this chest pain. What's going on here? So they come at the 4 hours and 15 minutes, and they say, you must have anxiety. There's nothing on your strip. Your blood work looks good. I'm going to give you an Aleve. I'm going to give you an antidepressant, you know, for 2 days, and you're done. And they send you out. And you think, we wonder why we have so many issues with healthcare these days if that is the type of things that are going on. Whereas with homeopathy and naturopathic medicine, you know, I'm not getting the $10,000 bill from that, quote, anxiety event. And they didn't even tell this person, you know, hey, maybe you should see your other doctor. Hey, maybe you need to look at this, that, or the other. They just, here's your slip, see you later, and out the door. Or here's your drug and your antibiotic for the plague that you have, and see you later. And it's like, really? Are you kidding me? You know, with naturopathic medicine, homeopathy, we're constantly in touch with our clients and our patients and their families, and we know what's going on, and we help and help and help and help and help, and we have compassion, and we can understand what's going on. And it's not always the same treatment protocols, and it's not always let's just walk in and get something and never hear from you again. It's very, very interactive, and I know that you do that in your practice.
Well, people are usually surprised at how long I spend with them on the first visit, because you know, I need to really get to know them really well to be effective in treating them. And so I'll spend at least an hour and a half with people hearing their history, hearing what's going on, hearing their symptoms, doing some treatment, but really gathering the full story. And sometimes by the end of the whole thing, I'll say, oh, here's what's going on. And they're like going, oh, my gosh, nobody has ever listened to my whole story before, actually be able to put it all together for me. And that to them is just a relief to actually have, number one, somebody listen, and number two, they can then interpret how the, what the big picture is, what the pattern is, what the root of the problem is that, that needs to be addressed along with anything we do for their symptoms.
And it's also follow-up, because you'll have them come back again and again, or you will hear back from them again and again about something else, right?
Exactly. Now, in my office, I tend to have people come back, kind of depends on what's going on with them, maybe in a week or 2 weeks, maybe in a month. But usually within a month, I'm going to want to have them come back. I'm not a person that's going to have usually people come back, you know, like multiple times a week or anything like that. And it's not unusual for me to have people come back in a month and so we can review, you know, all of what's happened. I used to see people actually where I'd take a, do a, have them as a new patient, and then I'd see them the next week to make sure that we really had all the treatment going, and then I would see them in a month. But at least here in Arizona, that was, things have been pretty tough here for a while, and people, even though that's ideal, haven't really been able to afford to do that.
And also, too, since naturopathic medicine isn't covered by most insurances, but it is covered by some, the amount of payment, whereas homeopathy is such an inexpensive medication, we're not saying you're going to come to us and, you know, you're walking out with a $1,000 bill after an hour. That is not at all what naturopathic medicine is. I think we try, you and I, to really find cost-effective ways so that they can continue with their therapies and their treatments and with their appointments. And also, you know, have them participate with other people to be able to get help and support so they aren't left out there. You know, how many people go to the doctor, you get the prescription, and you're standing at the counter and you're saying, do I pay for my appointment or do I pay for my prescription? You know, which one are you going to default on, you know? And a lot of times people pay for their appointment and they don't get their prescriptions. So, you know, with naturopathic medicine and homeopathy, we can actually, you know, customize the therapies and treatments to sometimes what we don't like to say is we customize it to the budget, but it's not that we're customizing it to the budget, but we're not, we are, that is taken into account. I'm not going to give you something that's $1,000. That would be silly.
Well, if that person can't afford it, what's the point? And,
right.
And by the time you get to know somebody, you know kind of where they're at and what's happening in their life and what's going to work. And the same thing is I wouldn't give something that was a really like a bad tasting tincture to somebody who was so sensitive in taste that they wouldn't possibly take it. You know, I'd give them a capsule or I'd give it to them in some other form. And in the same way, I'm not going to prescribe something to them that that would not, you know, work at all financially for them. I think the thing about homeopathy is it's a fair amount of time and expense for the first visit, but then when you get the medicine itself is very inexpensive and can frequently, there's actually two ways to do homeopathy. There's two ways that I kind of use a lot and that people understand. There's acute homeopathy, which is like if you get hit on the head with a hammer, most people are going to probably need Arnica. Montana is a homeopathic medicine initially for the pain in it. And my daughter, I remember when she was in third grade, that exactly happened. This hammer fell off the scaffolding, hit her on the head. I arrived at school to pick her up, and I handed her a 30C tube of Arnica Montana from the store and said, here, why don't you take a dose? She did. She goes, and after a couple minutes, she said, oh, I need to get my books. And I said, okay. So she went off to get her books. And what was interesting about this is that then her little friend, who I couldn't treat because I didn't have her mom's permission to do that, who was the one that actually got the hammer as a like an off blow. It hit my daughter on the head, and then it hurt her just as a little bit as it was going down to the floor. She had, of course, pain for days. And my daughter, who had the Arnica, was immediately better. She took another dose in the car on the way home, and she was fine, you know, the next day. And I think, you know, that's an acute kind of situation. The other kind of way to do homeopathy is constitutional, which is when you really get the person's full life story and you treat that person as a real whole person with one homeopathic medicine that matches all of them, that can then really do some dramatic things about helping their body heal from some of these, all these kinds of diseases and problems that our bodies get stuck in because of our environment and our lives and the pressure we're under.
I think a lot of times homeopathy is actually great in a lot of nervous afflictions, or what I call them nervous afflictions. But anyway, it could be like maybe stress. It could be anxiety. It could be, well, those are two examples. Because if you're really worried about something, then your stomach starts to bother you, and then you have a headache, and then you start shaking, and then you start getting hot and cold. But when you go to a tradition, yeah, and then you try to turn around and you get a prescription from the doctor, he says, well, here, take this antidepressant or take this anti this or that. And that takes over your whole system and shuts it down instead of maybe finding out where the source of that anxiety might be, you know, and where that's the wonderful part of homeopathy is that you can say, let's just take care of one or two little things and see how those wheels start going around, and maybe everything else will disappear.
Exactly. And that's true, though. The other thing that the person that first really discovered homeopathy, his name was Dr. Hahnemann, he talked a lot about was that people also have to change their environment. If they're living in a basement that's damp and moldy, and that's, you know, really aggravating their system, they have got to get out of that basement before they're going to get better. And so some of that is helping people also acknowledge what we would call obstacle to cures are. And if they can't change their obstacle to cure, then at least to acknowledge that we're going to get them better up to a point. But until they deal with it, there's some limit on what can change.
So, and when we look at that in a different way, we could also say a woman who is having terrible hormone issues, tremendous headaches, and maybe a lot of back pain could be every time she goes home, she has a terrible husband at home and she's fearing for her life, you know?
Exactly.
And unless she changes that, there is nothing that's going to change it, but we can strengthen her to a point where then she could possibly potentially make a decision for her better good.
Exactly. And sometimes, you know, I actually had a patient that a very good homeopath referred to me because they just couldn't figure out what was going on, that well-indicated homeopathic medicines weren't working. And when I sat down and really worked with the person, turned out that all this person was eating was energy bars, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They weren't eating a fresh thing anywhere. They didn't know how to cook. They didn't want to learn how to cook. They were kind of afraid of food. They didn't know what to do with food. And so we figured out how, in almost as short a time as they could rip open their package or their bar, they could make a smoothie, that they could open up some vegetables, that they could be buying some different things in the store, that, you know. And then suddenly, you know, they were so excited because then everything was able to kick in, and they were then getting all that kind of healing and recovery. So it can be really basic. Also things like that I've seen have a big, you know, impact. I actually sometimes see people who travel all the time. Their job requires them to be on the road, and that traveling is just wearing them out. And I have to say, you know, I can help them to a certain extent, but, you know, it's just not good to be pushing their body that hard if their body isn't really made to be doing that. There's some people who can travel all the time. It seems like they've got these strong constitutions. It doesn't really affect them too much. There's other people that it really rips them up, and so, or night shifts would be another obstacle to cure for some people. That for some people, their bodies adapt really well, and other people, you know, it's really wreaking havoc on their health.
And times too, when we do take traditional medicine, Dr. Valeria and I are not saying don't do traditional medicine, but what we are saying is if you need it, then that's what you need to do because that's why it is there. It is great at helping out of those really deep holes we get ourselves into or these really deep conditions that do need attention. So if you have had a heart attack and you're in the hospital and that's something that you have to do, then do it. But what we are saying is when you come home, think about how you got in that situation. Think about how you can remedy your life and change some things around you and then be able to get healthier. But I also can say, too, if I had it was another family relative, and he had had a really big heart attack, and they said, well, you need to eat better, blah, blah, blah. So he kind of did, and, you know, we live in the deep south. He kind of gave up a little bit of the alcohol. It wasn't just that breakfast and lunch all the time, you know. And then he had another heart attack. So when he had the second one, he said, okay, that's it. I'll, you know, eat better, and I won't do the alcohol, and I'll go to the gym. Well, he was always this type of person who was pushing, 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 and just could not stop pushing. And he was in his mid-70s, and he just wasn't willing to give up the fight. And he just kept going and going in his life, and he was just going to run himself into the ground. And he ended up having his third heart attack on the treadmill. So it's very important, you know, to maybe stop and look at how did you get in that situation, and have you just more or less, I mean, shoes are always hurting. Maybe you just change the shoes and they still always hurt, but maybe you need to take them off for a while to see what it's like. You know, so
right.
Maybe you need to give
I
up the food and stuff, you know?
Yeah. That the other thing is that it, certainly people are way more successful at that with a coach, because it's really
yeah.
hard for us to see our own shadow. And sometimes the things that we are most attached to are the things that we most likely maybe need to consider doing differently or giving up. And I think that's where it's really helpful. I think different states are certainly different. As a naturopathic doctor in Arizona, I am a licensed physician, and so I do have a full scope of care. I actually do take Cigna insurance, and I can write prescriptions if I need to. I don't very often. I don't choose to, but a lot of naturopaths certainly do more than I do. I'm also licensed in California. I don't practice over there, but they don't have quite the full scope of practice that Arizona has. So I think people also need to be aware of the fact that in some states, your naturopath can really be a primary care type of physician that's helping them with their full plan, actually, in getting better, getting healthier, getting, you know, recovering. And in some states, they're really an adjunct person.
And I hear in Louisiana, we're not licensed in this state at all. I am licensed in the state of Arizona, just as
mm-hmm.
Dr. Valeria. But here we do more coaching, and we do more guiding and directive, and we give you information on how to look at things differently, and you make your choices of what you'd like to do. But just to let everyone know is that there are choices out there. You don't just go to the doctor and he says, change your diet. He'll hand you a piece of paper on what you should eat, and you go throw it in the garbage on your way out. So Dr. Valeria and I are really different in that we will support you all that we can in all areas of your life instead of just handing it to you and walking away.
Right. When I work with people on special diets, of course, I've been a registered dietitian for a long, long time. So I've got some of those skills to bring to bear. But, you know, people don't leave until they figure out what they're going to eat the next day. You know, that's something that they might like to eat and that they consider palatable and doable and manageable, because if you haven't spent that type of time with somebody figuring that out, you're right, then that actually application doesn't happen, and it really is of no effect to tell somebody to do something if they don't have any idea how to actually do it.
And I think we're not the choosers of other people's paths. We're going to help find the best path for you with you designing it. We're just kind of gathering it together and showing you what it looks like. And that's
right,
really
what's
important.
Possible. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because down the road, what I say is to most of my patients is that when they really are doing it because they feel so much better when they're doing it, and then they choose to live that way because I just feel so good when I eat this way and I live this way and do this, then that's where the power comes from. It's not from... We don't sustain for a long time doing things that other people tell us doing, usually, except for out of a lot of fear. And right. But if we can really get to the place of doing it because, wow, this makes me feel so much better, that's a really powerful choice for people to make and to to be able to eat that way, to be able to live that way, to change their lifestyle. And sometimes people actually sit and tell me what they need to do, and I just need to tell it back to them, and because they a lot of times know what they need to do, but sometimes they don't. Sometimes they've never have considered the consequences of some of the things they're doing on their health.
And I think too, now that I have a background in dental hygiene for over 30 years, and it would frustrate me beyond belief when they would say, you need to eat some fresh fruit, go have an apple. And the people would just like totally zone through that. How many people in this world have a full set of teeth that can accommodate eating a hard apple? I would venture to say less than 50%. Because
wow,
believe me,
really?
I have seen over a million patients, and it has been people with veneers now with those things on the front, they don't eat hard apples.
Mm-hmm.
They only can eat them in their back four teeth. People with missing teeth. We totally forget about the kids. The
mm-hmm.
kids from the age 2 until age 18, they have the hardest time eating hard things, and no one ever thinks about that, you know, because they're constantly either losing or getting new teeth, constantly. But yet we keep shoving these things at them and telling them they have to do it, and then you wonder why the kids don't eat it. Well, they're not going to say it because they don't really know themselves, or to say, I'm not going to eat that piece of sticky something or other because, you know, here's my two teeth in it or something. Or I'm chewing up something hard in that food and not even realizing it, it's their baby tooth or something. Or, oh, that really hurts my mouth, and it's, you know, parent would look in their mouth and their mouth is swollen. Their mouth isn't swollen from the food. Their mouth is swollen because they're getting a new tooth. So there's so many different
mm-hmm.
variances. People just need to ask questions. And I think all these little teeny tiny questions, sort of like, you know, gathering up all of the pieces of, you know, sand and shells, and that's what makes a beach. You know, it's kind of crazy to think of it that way. But when you think about it, when you go to the doctor and he says, you say you don't feel well, and he'll say, what's wrong? And you say, my heart feels a flutter. Okay, go to the heart doctor. But I have a really bad headache. Okay, go to the neurologist. And then I want you to go have this test done at the radiologist. And then when you come back, you can go get your blood work at the other person. And then you can come back to see me and we'll put it all together. They don't really put it all together. They just read you what's good, bad, or ugly. That's what they're doing.
Exactly.
But with, you know, with naturopathic medicine, we're like putting all those pieces together. You know, we're saying this is the beach where the best shells will be with the best sand because the water will replace them. We're doing the whole-fledged picture. And homeopathy fits in.
And even in small things, you know, we do think,
right.
Like I want to know that what people really crave to eat and what they really dislike, and I want to know what they're afraid of, and I want to know how they're sleeping, and I want to know what position they're sleeping in. And so there's a lot of information that, as I'm gathering that information, I learn a lot about people, and I'm able to help them in a variety of other ways too, especially with homeopathy. But then sometimes, you know, like I'll say, oh, well, let's do this, let's do that, let's use this treatment, let's bring this other treatment in. And I do a surprising amount of lab work that I order for people, and then based on that information, I go through it with them. And they're like going, nobody's ever gone through lab work with me before. I'll go through everything. I'll tell them what all the good news is in addition to the bad news, and then I'll tell them why it's the bad news, you know, or what we're going to do to help resolve those problems. So, and I give them a copy, and I tell them that they need to have their own file with their lab work in it, in all their reports, because that's how they're going to be their own best advocate in the conventional world. I don't tend to call people that aren't doing naturopathic or natural medicine traditional, because we're really very traditional. I tend to call them conventional because I feel like that is the conventional medicine of our time. And it's extremely good for acute medicine, but they really have never explored and really don't know as well as we do. And naturopaths, how to make people healthier.
I think it should more be called technology medicine, because really it's based upon technology only. You put out a theory, you test it, and you find those good, bad, and ugly about it, and then you give it a patent. So it's really technology medicine.
Although I have to say that I'm loving this technology that we're able to talk on the internet and on the radio. So
right.
It is interesting to me to realize how like any tool, it can be used for good or for bad, and that unfortunately for the people in conventional medicine is they don't have really very many tools. They have, you know, this list of prescriptions, and they got their protocols, and when a patient comes to me, I have this whole breadth of things that I can do. I have so many things to do that it's more like bringing it down to saying, okay, what really fits this person? And sometimes I have people come in with these huge shopping bags of supplements they've been taking because every time they read something that they think fits them, they'll go buy it. And it's like, oh, no, they can't believe it. They say, you're the first person I've ever seen that takes things away because I'm sorting them down to what I feel like is really appropriate for them because that's not – that's the other thing that I really like about homeopathy is it defines what health is, and health is freedom and creativity, and I don't feel like it's freedom to be taking a whole bunch of medicine. So I'm encouraging people to be creative, and I'm encouraging them to feel free in their lives.
You know, when we said about technology medicine, that like I like to call it, it's, believe me though, I'm the first one that'll stand in line when I have another kidney stone to get that technology medicine. You know,
that's right.
I'll tell you,
for the acute, it's great.
I've had two of those kidney stones now, let me tell you. I'm the first one to stand in line, and I'll take the first drug they give me, and I'll take the first test and the next thing and the next thing, because that's where I was at that time, and that's what I needed to do, because it mm-hmm. had me out like nobody's business. But then you turn around after that, and you say, okay, now, how did I ended up getting to that situation? That's mm-hmm. where naturopathic medicine and homeopathy are great at. So that, yep. you know, once or twice, you know, once is a great occurrence, twice is like, I'm not doing this again, you know. And to this day, Lord help us, none have occurred since. But
that's right.
You do need to understand that everything has its place in medicine.
Absolutely. I feel like there's no good or bad here, and there's no
right.
us versus them. You know,
no.
we should be all really working together. But our specialty is how to get people healthier again, and that's not something that they have any tools in at all. We can also treat things in a variety of different ways that don't have as serious of an impact. Some of them do have serious impacts, but that's like my book, Naturally Healthy at Home. A lot of moms that have bought it really commented on the fact that they love having some initial ability to be able to treat things at home successfully and kind of know how to use a little bit of herbs, a little bit of nutrition, a little bit of homeopathy, and be a little bit more independent in being able to do some at-home care and understand, you know, when things are serious and when they really got to go to the, you know, like to a clinic or something like that, or go to the emergency room.
On the show page for today's show, there is a link to Dr. Valeria's book that she has been referencing throughout the talk. There is also a link to her website directly where you can find out more information about Dr. Valeria. Dr. Valeria, could you please give us that information on your website and spell it so that the listeners will be able to check that out?
My website is www.dr, which stands for Dr. Dr. Valeria, valeria.net is my website. And on my website, you can access then information about my clinic, my practice, and also then a little bit about this book, Naturally Healthy at Home, that I actually started writing before I went to naturopathic medical school, because I was just so excited about all the things that I was learning about how to help my family and my two young daughters and my husband and I to be healthier and to be able to treat things acutely. And my book is also available on Amazon.com as an ebook. And what can happen is you can download the software for free from Kindle and then download the book into that onto like your iPhone or an iPad. And when you do that, the advantage of that I've discovered is that then you can just put in like the word sunburn, and it'll find out all the incidences of sunburn and bring it up with a little sentence around it. And you can say, oh, that's the one I want to look at, and then you go to it, and you're able to very quickly be able to access the information. So that's something that people have found to be useful, too, because that electronic technology indexing is going to be really fast.
And that's really great, too, because then you have it on your phone and your pad, you're carrying it with you. So it's not like you have to go home to get a book to be able to look it up and then run back out to the store. What I've found is that we have about 10 or 15 minutes left. I was wondering if we could talk about a few remedies. My super favorite one is euphrasia. I'll tell you. That is my – euphrasia is my number one on the list. I buy 10 and 12 bottles of it. I have it around the house and in different purses. Of course, when you want it, you can never find it, so you're on to the 11th one. But I've always found that with anything with eyes, we always say you really want to think about what you're getting, you know, what's wrong with you and everything to be able to pick the remedy, but sometimes I just don't have the time to do that, and when I give euphrasia, those eye things just take wings and leave. So I've just always loved it. That was my favorite one.
It's really big for people that have watery eyes, where it can be kind of hot or kind of burning a little bit, but then the nasal discharge is really bland, and especially allergies or conjunctivitis or colds or different things with that symptom,
it's
really most powerful.
Kids can turn on
totally
a
safe for kids. Actually, the other thing about homeopathy, it's totally safe for pregnant women. We didn't even talk about that. But, you know, it's one of the few medicines that's totally safe during pregnancy. And so some women I really start seeing during that time in their life because, you know, they need help. And, you know, so many of our drugs are so toxic that they can't be taking them during pregnancy, which it tells us something about the drugs that we're taking. I think that the other I already mentioned it one time, was Arnica Montana, which is for after an accident or a trauma or actually after a really hard workout or when you're, had a big fall or something like that. I hike a lot, and so I'm always passing Arnica out to people after a big hike or a big fall or, where they're bruised or really got sore muscles, and it helps prevent that soreness. Sometimes if people are doing something like really getting back into shape, have them take Arnica after their major workouts, and it prevents that soreness the next day, and they love it because then they're able to keep working out. Another time that's really helpful is after surgeries or like oral surgeries or other surgeries to help. So Arnica is something that just a lot of people can benefit from and use, in a pretty clear way when they're having all the kinds of accidents and traumas that happen to us.
How about Apis? I know myself with Apis, I was always using it. We live in the South. Mosquitoes like there's nobody's business, or red ants like crazy, or what was another one? Oh, and I found going to the dentist this is probably not the best remedy, but it was the remedy for me at the time, was when you go to the dentist and you're getting that injection to be able to get a tooth done, it was like, oh, this is funky. And I just took one Apis, and it was like I didn't even notice it. It was kind of crazy, but it seemed to fit for that day. But definitely for mosquito bites and red ants, and Apis is a great one. What have you found with Apis?
When somebody has a bite where it's hot and red and swollen around the bite, that's where it's really specific. Or where they're having an allergic reaction where they're kind of red and hot and swollen, like hives or edema or, you know, burning pains. And a lot of times we'll have them test to say, okay, if you put a hot cloth on it, does that make it feel better or worse? And then if you put an ice pack on it, does that make it feel better or worse? And with Apis, it's going to be really worse the hot pack, and it's going to be way better the cold pack. So that's going to be a way where we're going to be able to differentiate it, because we have another one that's really big for like around here, people might get scorpion bite stings, and or they might get snake bites, or you know, and that remedy that we tend to use a lot is Leadum palustra. Mm-hmm. And it, what's really different about it is it's going to kind of turn purple around the bite, and cold is going to feel really better. And so, and they're kind of chilly and stuff like that. So anyway, the Leadum and Apis tend to be kind of two ones that we might use for bites, and we're kind of looking to differentiate, because this would be an example where if you had kind of a purpley blue kind of chilly person and they needed Leadum and you gave them Apis, maybe nothing will happen, and they might say, oh, homeopathy didn't work, but they needed the Leadum. So it's a matter of differentiating some of these little differences.
I think also, to talk about the basis of the remedies, because as an example, yes, let's use the remedy aloe. Aloe is a plant that you can see that grows in the ground. You can drink aloe juice. You can cut open the plant and lay it on your skin on sunburn or bites or any swelling, and it within minutes to an hour, it's gone away and healed up. Or mm-hmm. aloe juice you drink internally to help with inflammation in your GI system. But then aloe powder you can put on your food so it can get in there deeper into your system. And then aloe you take as a homeopathic remedy. So all of these different layers of healing in your body can actually play off on each other and really make a profound healing.
It certainly can. And sometimes that's part of being like a naturopath or homeopath, is to help you decide which one of those forms, perhaps, that you want to use. Some of our homeopathics are made from things that are toxic, but that's such a minimum dose that there's not even really any risk there of a poisoning. And then there's some of them that are made of very safe things that have this wonderful, powerful effect in the homeopathic form. So different things can certainly work in different ways. Another homeopathic that I just love is Cocculus. Because I like to travel, and I've always traveled a lot, and it's really good for motion sickness. And mm-hmm. I'm also losing sleep when you're traveling, so ailments from traveling, and so Cocculus is very helpful for that, and I enjoy using Cocculus that way.
What about with kids? I know every person that comes in, I always make sure, first thing they always have, and doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter how many kids or no kids or whatever, it's Rescue Remedy. So if we could talk a little bit about Rescue Remedy, about what you think. I mean, I've even used it just recently. I think it was last month. The woman used it on her dog that was dying. You know, she was giving it to the dog every 5 minutes. So Rescue Remedy, you know, is really great also.
I do like Rescue Remedy. And when my daughter was in junior high, she needed to do a science project, and she wanted to do something along natural medicine. And so what a friend of mine had told me is that she used Rescue Remedy in her water when she was transplanting plants, and that it really made a big difference in them not getting transplant shock.
Mm.
And so so then she designed the study. She planted 27 plants, 3 sets of 9, and 3 of the plants then would get water. 3 of them got B vitamins, and 3 of them got Rescue Remedy water. And she did that 3 different times, and then she counted, you know, like at an hour intervals, the leaf wilt on all of them. And the one that was number one was the Rescue Remedy in the water. So you
wow.
can see Rescue Remedy is even good for plants. But that same daughter then, when she just not too long ago, actually, took her bar exam in the state of California, she took Rescue Remedy gum in. Because, you know, it's in these little chiclet forms, and nobody has to comment about it one way or the other. And she chewed her Rescue Remedy gum while she was taking the test to stay totally calm and clear. And so it does work in a variety of ways and a variety of settings. And, like I say, so different students that I've seen that are taking tests have found they do way better when they're calm and clear when they're taking their tests. And Rescue Remedy gum can make the difference for them. So that's, yeah, you can get drops, you can get it for animals, you can get it for kids, you can, you know, get it for gum, you know, it really is a nice combination, and it's a low-level homeopathy, that I don't actually ever worry about combining with the other things that I'm doing. There are some things, like if you're taking one homeopathic remedy and then you take another one, sometimes they can interfere with each other a little bit. So the first one, and so you got to kind of know or have somebody that can help you with determining whether you want to mix some remedies together, homeopathic medicine.
And it does take time, too, for those remedies to work. Like we've said in the beginning, once you get the chain greased and ready to start moving, the wheels will follow. But if you put something in there secondarily before the wheels start to move, it may stop them. So that's where knowing what you're doing or getting some professional advice is probably the best with some of the remedies that you're using.
You know, one of the ways I like to think about homeopathy is like you're talking about your wheel and chain, that are like an assembly line, where the energy that's helping things move down the assembly line is like the homeopathy. But then, you know, you got to have the doors, you know, you got to have the car parts, you got to have the pieces coming in. And so if you don't have the nutrition, you don't have the nutrients, you don't have the parts coming in because of what's happening, then you can't necessarily, you know, make it all come together, you know, at the end. And so it is important to recognize that a lot of times it takes everything working together, and they each have their own important place. So when I treat people, I try and do some things actually lifestyle nutritional. I do homeopathy. I might do some things herbal. I might do something, you know, but I'm hitting kind of a variety of different ways of helping the body to heal itself.
Right. Well, we're coming to the end of the show, and I think it's really been a great discussion today. I hope everybody has been able to hear how we've gone back and forth. What is homeopathy? How does it fit into naturopathic medicine? And how just sitting down and saying, I need something for this, and then 5 minutes later you're out the door. That's not really what we're saying about in your way to your health, because when you're in your 50s and 60s and 70s and you wonder how you hit this health door and you have such drastic, drastic medical conditions, maybe it's just because you hadn't paid attention all along. So really what Dr. Valeria and I are trying to say is pay attention along the path, you know, kind of clear away some of the dust with some remedies and make sure you're taking care of supporting yourself in all areas of your life, and then it will just make it a lot easier. In other words, you won't be carrying so much baggage with you when you get to the end line. So if that makes sense to anyone, that's absolutely fabulous. Dr. Valeria, if you could again give us your website and
yes,
how anyone might be able to contact you.
Dr. Valeria Brighton. Dr. Valeria Brighton. I'm a licensed naturopathic physician in Chandler, Arizona, and my website is www.drvaleria, so drvaleria.net, and that'll get you to me, show you what I'm all about, and hopefully you can get some benefit from that information.
And also, if they contacted you and were able to talk to you for a minute or two, and if they were not in your area, might you be able to direct them otherwise to someone in their area?
Yeah, the best way would be for someone to email me with that kind of question.
Okay.
And then generally, I'll based on what they're looking for, I might recommend what resources they might best be looking for, and you know where they could actually find somebody that would really, you know, be doing what they'd like to do. Depending on kind of what they're looking for, whether they're looking for a homeopath, looking for a naturopath, you know, looking for somebody that's doing some other kind of things. I get a fair amount of inquiries off my website for people that are just, I guess, some students wanting to know about being a dietitian. You know.
Yeah, that's true. We get a lot of inquiries because this radio show is global, so. You know, you never know when people will be contacting you saying, I need someone in my area that's like you.
Mm-hmm.
Who can you help me with? So thank you so much for being with us today. It was a really lively show. I think we did a pretty good job of describing what we believe homeopathy is. And hopefully the listeners will hear this show. You know, I know it's a long show. You just kind of listen to snippets here and there. And the show will stay in archives for a few years. You can always come back to it.
Great. Well, thank you so much for having me on the show, Jeanette. It was wonderful.
Great. Thank you so much for being with us. And I hope that, you know, if something else comes up with health or the flu or something, maybe this winter, maybe you can come back on and we'll talk about that for an hour.
Okay. Thank you.
Great.
Talk to you later.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So to all of you listeners, if you'd like more information about Dr. Valeria, her links are posted on the description of today's show page. Also, my information with my website is also on the bottom of the show page description. It's outoftheboxhealthcare.com. If you'd like more information, both Dr. Valeria and I can always help you, or we can refer you to someone else that may be in your local area. So I know that homeopathy, homeopathic medications, and naturopathic medicine seem such big words that might not be in your language right now, but eventually, as you come to try them out and see that that isn't so scary anymore, maybe you'll be able to share it with some more people. So thank you so much for being with us today. It's been an absolutely great day. I'm looking forward to some cool weather. So don't forget, if you have any beautiful fall leaves in your area, please send them to me on Facebook. You know, it's a really great day here in the South, but I really wish it was cool. So have a great day. And tomorrow, and I think we have two or three more naturopaths who will be talking about naturopathic medicine. So join us then. Thank you and have a great day.